Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Maisie and her grandfather are at home decorating the family Christmas tree. Carols play in the background. As Maisie gets ready to place an angel ornament on the tree, she turns to her grandfather.
Grandfather, do angels have names?
Yes, a few angels are mentioned by name in the Bible, and there's one angel in particular who plays a very important role in the Christmas story.
Who is that?
The angel Gabriel. Let me tell you about him.
From the dawn of creation, when the stars first sang together, I have watched over the tapestry of human history, a story marked by both profound tragedy and boundless hope. It began in a garden, a paradise of innocence where the morning dew reflected a world unblemished by sorrow. Adam and Eve, crafted in the very image of the Creator, dwelled there. I remember the sweet harmony of Eden, a melody now lost to time. But then a discordant note was struck, shattering that perfect symphony. Deceived by the serpent's cunning words, Adam and Eve chose a path away from light. I watched heartbroken as they tasted the forbidden fruit, as shadows crept into their hearts and into the world. The garden was no longer their home. They were exiled, not just from Eden, but from an unbroken communion with their Maker. In that moment, a great chasm yawned between the Creator and His creation. Yet even as the gates of Eden closed, a whisper of hope echoed through the heavens. A plan, a divine tapestry, was being woven by the Creator, a plan of salvation to bridge that vast chasm. As centuries unfolded, I witnessed humanity grappling with its newfound separation from the divine. From the tragic story of Cain and Abel, to the great flood that cleansed the earth, mankind seemed lost in a cycle of sin and redemption. Yet amid this tumult, the Creator's presence never waned. He spoke to Noah, a righteous man in an age of darkness, instructing him to build an ark of salvation. Then came Abraham, called to be the father of nations, a paragon of faith. His story and that of his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, was fraught with trials and triumphs, each step a stitch in the grand tapestry. I watched as Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, rose to power in Egypt, turning what was meant for harm into a means of preservation during famine. Through these events, the Creator was painting a picture of redemption, of His unrequited faithfulness. Moses, a child drawn from the Nile, became the deliverer of Israel. I stood with the heavenly host as the Red Sea parted, as manna rained from heaven, and as the law was given on Sinai. Each of these moments, though grand, were but shadows and types of the greater salvation to come. The age of kings dawned with Saul, but it was David, the shepherd boy, who captured the Creator's heart. Despite his flaws, David's lineage was chosen for an honor like no other, to bring forth the promised Messiah. In the tapestry, threads of gold and scarlet began to intertwine, heralding the approach of the King of Kings. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, spoke of this coming one. A child to be born, a son to be given, a king to reign in righteousness. Their words were often met with scorn, yet they were the rays of hope in an age of darkness, pointing unwaveringly to the promised Savior. Exile came, a bitter cup for Israel, yet even in Babylon the Creator's presence was with His people. Daniel, in a foreign land, held fast to his faith, revealing that the Creator's purposes could not be thwarted by earthly powers. It was to Daniel that I was sent, to tell him about the coming of an anointed one, one who would bring salvation to all people. As empires rose and fell from Babylon to Persia, from Greece to Rome, the tapestry grew ever more complex, yet the central thread remained unbroken. The fullness of time approached, a moment foreordained since the world's foundation. And then I was sent to the hill country of Judea, dispatched once again by the Almighty, with a message of great import. It was in the temple where I found Zechariah, enveloped in the sacred duties of his priestly service. As I appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, Zechariah's astonishment was palpable. Fear gripped his heart. a common reaction of mortals to our celestial presence. Yet with a calming tone, I sought to soothe his troubled spirit. "Fear not, Zechariah," I said, "for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Oh, the joy that message should have brought! A son who would be great before the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. He was to be the harbinger of the highest, preparing a path for the one who was to come. But Zechariah received my message with doubt, and as a result of his lack of faith, I stilled his tongue. He could not utter a word for another 9 months, not until his son was born. Sometime thereafter, I was again sent on an even greater mission. This time I was sent to a sleepy village called Nazareth. There, I found a young maiden named Mary, her heart pure, her spirit graced with divine favor. To her, I brought the news that would echo through the ages. "Hail you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And then I gave her my message. "Mary, do not be afraid. Listen closely, for I come bearing news of monumental importance. You, a woman of simple grace and resolute faith, have been chosen for a task unlike any other. The Almighty, in His infinite wisdom, has bestowed upon you the honor of carrying the Son of God. Within your womb, Mary, shall grow the very essence of divine love and salvation. Do not be afraid, Mary, for though the burden you are about to bear is immense, you will not walk this path alone. The Lord will guide you every step of the way, shielding you from harm and granting you the strength you need to fulfill your destiny. Understand, Mary, that your journey will not be without its challenges. The world is a complex and often cruel place, and many will not understand the sacred miracle that unfolds within you. Doubts will arise, whispers of fear, and doubt will fill the air. But you must remain steadfast in your faith. Remember, Mary, that you are a symbol of hope for humanity. Through you, the Son of God will walk among men, offering redemption and showing us the true path to salvation. Your courage and faith will ignite a flame that will illuminate the darkest corners of the world. This is your calling. This is your purpose. Embrace it with open arms and allow the divine light to fill your being. You are carrying the future of humanity, and the fate of countless souls rests upon your shoulders. Do not falter. Be strong, be brave, and know that you are never alone. The Lord is with you, and through you, He shall manifest His love and boundless grace to the world. In Mary's humble acceptance, her willingness to submit to what the Lord wanted of her, I saw the dawning of a new era. Her faith, a burst of sunshine in a world shrouded in spiritual darkness, was the vessel chosen to bear the light of the world. Yet my role in this divine narrative was not complete. I was also tasked with assuaging the worries of Joseph, her betrothed, who, in his righteousness, faced the dilemma of Mary's unexpected pregnancy. In a dream, I conveyed the truth of Mary's divine conception, easing his troubled heart and preparing him for his part in the unfolding story. As the stars shone brightly over Bethlehem and the infant Jesus lay in a manger, I marveled at the simplicity and profundity of the moment. Heaven touched earth, not amidst fanfare or in palaces of power, but in a humble stable, cradled in the arms of a young mother. The birth of Jesus, a moment both majestic and intimate, remains a testament to the power of divine love, a love that chose to manifest in the most vulnerable of forms, a baby. In this act, heaven and earth converged, and the promise of ages found its fulfillment. From the fall of Adam and Eve to the birth of Christ, the journey has been long, often marked by tears and toil. Yet through it all, the Creator's love has remained unchanging, a beacon of hope, guiding humanity back to its intended harmony with Him. May this season's celebration of Christmas bring with it a reminder, not only of our history, but of the glorious future that still awaits us. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our Heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with His blood mankind hath bought. Because of Christmas, Easter Sunday was possible, and because of Easter, we can all have heavenly peace.
Christmas Perspectives will continue next time.